This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 301 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
What? You finished your TV show now. Have you ready to podcast? Had to get your Game of Thrones finale.
Yes, man. Just watch the finale of season 5.
Nice to see where your priorities lie, dude. You know?
Absolutely.
Watch a TV show. Was it recorded anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'd rather watch a recorded show that you could come back to and leave me hanging.
Yes. Look, to be in my defense, we started watching it over an hour ago, and I thought it would be finished by before 9 o'clock when we were due to start recording. But of course, being the season finale, it had to run long, didn't it?
This could be our last episode, 301 and done. I know where the love is. Don't you worry about that.
Like a game of darts. 301.
No, I've been okay, dude. More importantly, how did your shoot go Saturday night?
A bit of a non-event, actually.
Oh, God, David
Cambry and Carly had gone out looking for access to Mangrove Mountain Dam, but it turned out that there is a gate a couple of kilometres from the dam which gets locked at 5 o'clock.
Dam.
Yes, exactly. So that ruled out that particular spot. So I said to them, well, look, meet me at the Gosford waterfront and we'll, yeah, maybe shoot some stuff there, maybe do some street photography. We'll work something out. So they went, yeah, okay, fair enough. And it was really overcast all day. So we were thinking, well, it wasn't going to be much of a, you know, star shoot anyway. But of course, by 8 o'clock, all the cloud had actually cleared away and it was quite, open sky. So they said, well, is there anywhere else we can shoot stars around here? And I thought, oh, geez, you know, anywhere we go is going to be full of light pollution. But I said, oh, I think there's some open spots up on Brisbane Water National Park. So we took a drive up there and found a lookout, but there were too many trees around, so you couldn't get a good view of the sky.
Yeah,
so it was all a bit of a dismal failure, actually. So after that,
so it was a normal outing for you.
Yeah, pretty much. So after that, we went for a drive down to Macca's, got a hot chocolate, and then we were driving up through a suburb called Tascot, and there's a park right on the waterfront near the bay where there's this farm of dinghies that are all stood on their sterns and leaned against trees.
A farm.
Well, that's what I'm calling it.
Okay.
Because that's what it was like. There's just about 50 or 60 dinghies that are all...
I wasn't sure if that was like a technical term. Like a
no, I don't think it's a technical term. So I'm sure you can make up a better collective term for for dinghies standing on their butts. So, so we cracked out some speed lights and put gels on them and remote triggers and put the gel, the gelled flashes inside dinghies and shot some weird and wonderful colours and that sort of stuff.
But where are the photos?
To be honest, I wasn't blown away with mine. What was that?
You haven't even bothered looking at them.
I looked at them and just went, nah, whatever. So I didn't bother posting.
Let's delve into that a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
As my psychologist and psychiatrist and hypnotherapist all like to say to me.
Yeah.
All at once, because I like to have a battery of analysts at once.
Yeah.
Let's delve into that a little bit deeper, Bruce.
Yeah.
What
didn't I like
about
it?
What was missing?
Decent subject matter.
Because you're photographing yourself, is that it? Yeah. So where you're coming from.
Do you want me to export a couple of JPEGs and send them to you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, bear with me.
I want to nut to this a little bit deeper into this psychology of image making.
Of why it all went horribly wrong.
No. More so that why we left unsatisfied so often when looking at photographs.
Oh, okay.
I'm not necessarily picking on your art. It's such a common experience.
Yeah, true.
That I'd like to yep. make this podcast actually something. Because somebody said they listened to every podcast from 183 to 200 to 300 and came out knowing less than they started. Which is, I may be paraphrasing there. Maybe I know no more rather than I know less.
So I don't know. They just the subject matter was
As soon as I can see an image, I'll be able to talk with you.
Fair enough.
But I'd love to go through this. I'd love to spend a few minutes on this.
Yeah.
And I think it's important.
Yeah.
You've got all the effort of putting your watermark on it.
So because I just fired up Lightroom just then and I hit export with my Facebook preset. Okay. I wasn't deliberately meaning to put my.
Like, yeah, I like these images so much. Yeah,
that's it.
God, this is like molasses. This internet. I've almost got one image downloaded. There we go. There's one.
Like molasses.
It's like molasses.
Oh dear.
Let's look at number one, shall we? Number 9070. Okay, so this is your gaggle of boats.
Yes.
Okay.
9070. Okay.
I want to put these into the podcast notes.
No, really? Do I have to?
Because if we're going to talk about them.
Oh, they're bloody awful.
Exactly. But if we're going
to... Okay, fine.
I want you to talk about your
images. I'll suffer for my art.
No, we're suffering. We're suffering for looking at your art. Okay.
Thanks for softening the blow, mate.
Yeah. So let's look at the shot.
Yeah. It's crap.
First up.
Yep.
What are you trying to say?
I have no idea. Like I said, it had been a dismal failure up until this point, and it wasn't about to get any better.
So you just thought adding a few flashes to a scene was going to make, with a couple of colored gels on, would automatically make that scene interesting.
I thought there was the potential for it to be something interesting with some coloured lights, yes. And I was wrong.
Especially when you've got the orange light from the horrible, whatever.
Yeah, the tungsten light from the street, yes.
Let's look at composition.
Oh, it's horrid. Vision.
I know, but why is it horrid?
It's horrid.
Why are you including the things you're including, and why are you excluding the things you excluded? What were you trying to say?
I think I was, in this particular image, I was looking at the two dinghies which are sort of center left, that is the one that looks black on the bottom of it and the one that's got the blue gel firing inside it. And I was looking at the two or three that are over on the right hand side where I've got a gel with a green flash, a flash with a green gel on it.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at those five dinghies collectively as being the center of the attention, and I wasn't paying attention to the white dinghy over on the left, which looks yellow because of the tungsten lighting.
It's a fair eye puller because it's the brightest.
Exactly.
So here's the thing.
Yep.
This is a very two-dimensional image of a three-dimensional world and three-dimensional subjects. Yep. So it's very flat.
Yes.
But you've got great lines of that dinghy down on its back going away. You could have a foreground and a rear interest with the black dinghy up close and the three in the background further back. So you've got elements there that could have worked.
Yep.
But you've taken that 3D world and flattened it effectively.
And it's
lost all that vibrancy of what you would see with your eye. Yep. You haven't translated that into the image.
Right.
Now, I think if you got closer to that black dinghy, which was A, would have eliminated the white one.
Yep.
And
yeah, it moved slightly
down
to the left and turned to the right a bit.
And shot down through that dinghy that's on the ground towards the other three. That would have been a leading line to your other element.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So you got your foreground element, your leading lines of the other boat, and then your background element. It would have given you depth. It would have given you a way for the eye to follow. Direction because of the lines.
And it would have given the two on the left a little more weight because they would have been bigger and closer to them.
Absolutely. They would have been right in your grill. You'd have eliminated all that empty, nothing space
on
that's
the
around
right.
it. And the top and right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't add to the. Remember, Robert Carper, if your photos aren't good enough, you're not close enough, fill the frame with the story.
Yep.
How does the black sky add to the story? If it does, keep it. If it doesn't, get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about when you're. What am I trying to feel? Not just what am I trying to say? I mean, here's the thing. I was thinking today, one, I think I've actually got it in my little list of things to say. Let me flick back up here. What's the difference between a good photograph and a successful one?
Okay.
No, I think there's a, I don't think we should be trying to take good photographs. We should be trying to take successful photographs. And successful are the ones that convey the feeling, the thought, the dimensions, the atmosphere, the story, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That makes the photograph successful. And even if this had been well lit and all fine and dandy, I don't still think you would have been satisfied with it, because even on that composite, it's still flat and lifeless. The story's not there. It might have been good, but it wouldn't have been successful. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think lacking depth is a big thing in that shot.
Yeah.
As well as like, the light's cruddy, let's face it. But I mean, that's going to happen. But where we get bogged down in our creative process when we're shooting often is.
Mm.
I'm not thinking of all the elements. You think of every single element that's in that frame, and ask yourself, well, what does it add to be there?
Yeah.
And if you had thought that whilst you were there, okay, should I? Shouldn't I? What if I and then try taking it out. Try putting it back in. Oh, how does it change how I feel? And by taking it out, probably means you would have zoomed in closer, possibly.
Yeah.
Which would have given you a different feel, or what I would have preferred you've done is zoomed out and walked in closer, because that would give you your depth, and it would have given you a different feel. All of a sudden, things would start to come together and work a bit.
Mm.
So for number 71 is pretty much the same. So if you just put a frame around half of the black boat,
yep,
and right to the chop almost just the very top of it. Yep. Can I cut that with this preview thing here?
Yeah, I've got it open in Lightroom at the moment, so I'm doing it.
And crop it just to the tree on the right hand side.
Yep.
And at the base, pretty much have it like just a millimeter, a couple of millimeters below the boat that's laying down, and crop it like that.
Yep.
And
see
how it feels.
And I'm just going to desaturate the oranges and the yellows a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm looking at 71 at the moment as well, and 71 doesn't have quite as much of that coloration in it.
Right.
It's a little bit more. I mean, the orange is a little less bold for some reason.
Which one's this?
71. Yeah, which is just whatever reason.
Probably because I changed the white balance. I don't know. I may have changed the white balance.
But have you cropped it in?
I have, and I've just saved that as a new version, which I will flick to you.
And how does that make you feel?
Let me have a look at it. Yeah, it's better. It's oh shit! I should have taken a bloody watermark off it.
Well, if you cropped it, you've said because it's automatic.
Because I've exported with the same preset.
Yeah.
But yes, it does tighten the composition up a little. It still doesn't make it a great photo. But,
no, but don't worry about that. Do we have depth in that shot now, though?
A little more.
Yeah. So problem is by using a bigger lens, and you can't just crop to get depth. It's a little bit better because now we're seeing the lines a bit more obviously with our eyes.
Yeah.
But imagine if you'd done that with a wide angle lens and gone in and composed like that. That would have been very elongated, and that feel would have been there a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're starting to feel it a bit by the crop. But the reality is, if we'd done it with a lens, it would have felt a lot, a wide angle, walk closer. It would have felt
been
a lot
more dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what you might have found, and this is the kind of process when things are easy, anyone can shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when things are tough, it's when you've got to, okay, what do I have to do to try and make something start to work?
Yeah.
And you start dissembling stuff like this. Okay, what don't I like? What am I feeling? Yeah, what am I not feeling? What am I trying to? What's the story I'm trying to say? And the more we keep working on this, hopefully it starts to work while you're actually at the shoot, and then it starts to come together. Let me have a look at your crop versus. He does have that silly blend. So that logo, funnily enough, does take away from the depth as well.
Right.
Because it stops your eye there.
Yeah.
So your eye doesn't it's a barrier to your eye going through the photograph.
Yeah.
In the way I see stuff.
What I'm going to do while I'm thinking about it is I'm going to export these again without the watermark for the purposes of posting in the show notes.
Yeah.
Just so that people don't have to deal with the watermark.
But you see what can you start to get a feel for what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
one of the few decent conversations we've had on this podcast. but this is a little insight into the way I feel and think. Yeah, yeah. And I think hopefully this brings out a bit of a conversation piece when we look at our own photographs. If we start talking to ourselves and thinking more about it, and thinking about the story is we're not just taking photos of stuff. Yeah. You know, anyone can do that's a picture. Yeah, you know, if you want to take a photo of stuff, we're trying to convey and tell stories and feel, and that's a hell of a different thing. You know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah, why are we doing this? Great, there's a lot more fun hobbies you could probably reach, a lot less stressful hobbies. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to save my version. I think my version looks pretty much like your version anyway.
Right.
But because I know you can visualize like a lens.
Yep.
You can see how that would have looked with a wide angle lens.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this often happens when our first few ideas for a shoot go wrong. The thing we end up doing seems very hard, and it's a struggle to get to work and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why I very much try not to have too many forethought out ideas.
Oh, okay.
When I go out to shoot, I don't really like to have anything planned.
Right.
For that reason is that I don't want to I might want to say, okay, I want to go to spot
it's
A.
It's almost like not wanting to jinx yourself.
Well, it's not so much jinx. It's just I don't want to close my mind to the opportunities I'm driving past.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't want to be going blinkeredly to this one spot, but I missed this awesome stuff on the way. Yeah. And because I didn't even see it because I wasn't thinking about – I wasn't looking. I was looking, but I probably wasn't seeing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I might have been looking as I'm driving somewhere, but I wasn't seeing. And then if you get to location A, that was your big thing. Get then it's either closed or there's people in the way or whatever.
Yeah.
Then your brain starts to go into mode.
Damage recovery.
Yeah, and then things all start to and that gets very hard to stay creative because that's a kind of a different brain stage to be in.
Yeah.
Definitely. That looking at your crop there, that's very similar to what I had. It's a much more compact image. Your story is the boats, and now 80% of the image is the boats.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it works. It works better. It's not a great image, but it's mostly because of the exposure.
Right.
The exposure is pretty blah across the whole thing, but that's not necessarily you. That's that horrible light source that you were given as a natural light source there.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's a street light.
Yeah, but it was a street light of what color?
Oh. A pretty harsh orange.
Yeah. So you have this problem when you're shooting at nighttime in places like India and a lot of third world countries. These are these like phosphorescent lights.
Oh, okay.
They put out the most god awful yellow blah over everything.
Right.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how dynamic your subject is, how amazing the look, it doesn't, even this light just kills everything.
Yeah, right. Yeah?
And it also, it's sort of pervasive. It's kind of everywhere. It's not very directional. So you tend to lose all depth and all interest in the shots because this light's just blah and the shadows are taken out or the shadows are really muddy and this horrible yellow color as well. So you can see that in that shot, and especially the first shot, 70 more than 71 because 70 is a warmer looking shot. That orange color is just blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if you convert to black and white, which is the saving grace of all bad lighting, it doesn't really help.
No.
But what I think, if you tried playing, because once again, the exposure on the darker parts of the image, like the backs of the boats, it would get too muddy and too lost in black and white. There's not enough tonal difference across the image.
No.
Because of, once again, the lighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's great lessons to be had in this so-called failure of how we shoot. You know, these times when we struggle are the times when we probably grow the most. If we can, even if we don't solve the problem there, look at the photos, think them through.
Yeah.
Think about how else could I have done it? What other options were there for me? What was my thought process and could I have done something different? And if you can come up with solutions whilst you're looking in your abject misery at the photos you took, it gives you ideas for next time.
Yeah.
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 So don't beat yourself up for this crud that you've got in front of us.
Yeah.
That we're going to show everybody.
Yeah.
So yes, I've had a great learning experience tonight. But geez, I wish I had some shots. But you know what I mean. You've got every trip, success or failure, is something you got to do. The old your first 10,000 photos are your worst. Well, maybe your first 10,000 photo shoots are your worst.
Maybe.
Who knows? Because I was doing some shots of my kids on the weekend. I went to this little miniature railway. I know.
Unheard of.
Unbelievable. I figured they haven't got many photos of themselves, I better tell you. Now, we went to this little miniature railway, which the kids had never been on before, and we're flying along, so I wanted to do some slow shutter speed stuff.
Yeah, I saw that. That was awesome.
Yeah, but the frustration of doing it, I just about jumped out of the moving train.
Why?
Well, they're not easy to do when you're in a jostling, bouncing train. So, you've got to go through the 50 or 60 crud shots to find the one passable. It still wasn't quite what you wanted, but it's the best of a bad bunch. Right. We all have those events. There's stuff that's in our control and there's stuff that's out of our control. You had no control over that light that was there.
No.
The light that was giving your subjects. It doesn't matter how good the subject matter was. You put those same boats on a lovely sunrise with beautiful light and great shadow play and decent composition and the right lens, which is probably what you would have done if it had been daytime and felt freer to walk around and easy to get your gear in and out of. You do that stuff more because it's easier in day than night. You would have come away with some great shots. So, you know what I mean? It's just this little sequence of things that can get in your way of taking photos, but you got to take, oh, well, that's okay. I'll learn from that and I'll be happy. So well done you for getting out there.
Thank you, mate. I'm definitely looking forward to this Saturday.
Yes. Yeah. But don't get too excited because, you'll jinx it.
So anyway, back to your story of trying to take the slow shutter speed.
No, I'm just saying it was just hard. Whether you're a jostling, bouncing train with moving kids, if you want your subject to be stationary, as in as static, and everything else moving, well, you try and get a kid who's been first time ever on a miniature train to sit still for point three. And it's not just one, it's two kids. It's not just two kids, it's two kids and the wife. Well, good luck. So you don't post any photos
The image that you put up, was it probably about a third of a second, quarter of a second?
Yeah, quarter of a second, exactly. Which is a fair duration of time to try and keep everything. And look, and she's got some movement in it. There's only parts of it that are actually static. But that's enough.
It worked beautifully.
Story. But you've got to go through how many shots to get that? I don't know, probably through 80 shots, 100 shots. And I came out with, I've got a few. I've got my backdrop to my computer at the moment's a different one with my daughter looking back, smiling at me. And that, as we're going around a bend, and you can see the front carriage. And so that all works, but there's only two or three. There's another one coming out of a tunnel. But you've got to go through all the crud to get the reason. Or you get everything perfectly fine and the kid's got a stupid expression on its face. Or it thinks its face. And I did another one of my youngest daughter sitting on this it's like a some sort of roundabout kind of thing that all these kids are running around spinning, and she's sitting in the middle and it doesn't spin, so she's there and everyone running around the outside of her. So I had to get her to sit still for half a second.
That was great.
Blur of all that. So that's the same. It's the same process though. Of trying to gonna take a bunch of photos because she looks here, she looks there, she looks everywhere. No, don't do that. Don't move. So the second you say don't move, that's all they hear is move. Not the don't, so it drives you crazy. So incredibly frustrating experience, and Dad's about to throw his camera out the window. But that's what we're going to go through. That's the struggle of photography, especially when you're playing with things out of your control, time and light. I could have easily taken a fast shutter speed shot, a lifeless fast shutter speed shot, and got bunches of good shots. But lifeless. Bunches of good pictures. But no photos. Pictures are easy. Photos, they're a bit tougher. And that's unfortunately what we strive to do when we go out. We want to take photos. We want every image we take to be a photograph. And it can't be. And it won't. The intention's there, but the reality of life and everything else. And so you went out wanting to take some great photos, and what you ended up with was some pictures with some good lessons. enough picking on Bruce. No, that's enough of me picking on Bruce. How about you pick on yourself for a while? So you've got. So we're recording early this week.
We are recording on Tuesday night.
Wanting to watch your Game of Thrones or some silly thing. So you've got nothing.
Well, there was something that I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, we'll bring it up in a minute. Oh. I'm going to tell the story first. No, it's just because I've just scrolled to the top of my list and seen that we had some lovely people thank us for our 300 episode.
We did.
So thank you.
Yes.
The four of you know who you are. My favourite Melbourne jazz club closed its doors on Monday.
I like Michelle, Milena. Michelle. There you go. Freudian slip. Milena Pfeiffer's comments.
What'd she say?
about babies.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's right. You should elucidate. There you brought it up. You should tell people what you mean.
Okay, so we... The show notes for Shutters Inc. episode 300, Milena said, "Congratulations, guys. I remember when I discovered your podcast when my first kid was born, and now I already have a second child and you're still a part of my life. That must be a true love and a great work from your part, of course." To which Glyn replied, "Disclaimer, we take no responsibility for creating children due to our podcast." And to which I replied, "That's right. We're not responsible for any actions of getting jiggy with it anywhere in the world, and we both have a diary to prove it."
And she hasn't come back and responded, so she must have got insulted and left. Disgraceful. But that is lovely. Yeah, that's a nice thing. You're part of someone's life little bit. You know, an insignificant, trivial. Oh, I've got an hour to kill on whilst I'm waiting for the dentist or something. Kind of part of their life. You know, we come out in those moments of boredom and lifelessness. Yeah. Oh, I've got this horrible car drive. How can I make it slightly less horrible? Shutter Zinc. It's not like, I'm on this fabulous holiday and I'm having an incredible time and amazing scenery. How could I make this incredible journey better? Shutter Zinc. No, it just doesn't do that, does it?
How can I relieve the tedium of this commute?
Exactly. And then our friend Richard Clark, right from the very first episode, it was about amazing talent, wit, wonderful anecdotes, and the funniest jokes mixed with the occasional useful bit of information. Or so I've been told. I actually haven't listened to them.
Nice.
I love you. It's a real tell. So there's the lovely Susan Menace, who's listened to every one of them.
Yep.
Yes.
Even the ones Bruce did by himself.
I'm hoping the padded cell's working out well for you, Susan. Yeah. And Will Case.
Yep.
He
sent us a quote from Abraham Lincoln.
He did. There's one for you. Yeah.
There are no bad pictures. That's just how your face looks sometimes.
That was lovely though. We got a couple of nice mentions. But as I said, I went out on a Saturday night. My favourite Melbourne jazz club was closing down Monday night.
All right.
Saturday night was the last night that we could go because the kids and stuff. And
yeah.
And it was also happened to be our favourite singer from the jazz club was playing, which is kind of nice. It worked.
Yeah, right.
It was a bit sad. It was a great, phenomenal night because it was all by request. He just yelled out stuff from the audience and they'd play it.
Oh, okay.
It went for like 2 hours longer than it was supposed to.
So, right.
So it was a long night. But that was beautiful. But this jazz club's been open, I think, like 28 years or something, right? And they decided the guys that had to sell the building because it's being taken over by multi-level apartments and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
And he can't survive as a small business anymore. But he decided to close down on the Monday night because from day one, the first week they ever opened, they're open 7 nights a week. The first day they ever opened on a Monday night, they had this jazz drummer play.
Right.
He's played every single Monday night for the entire journey of
28 years.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Every single Monday. He's like an institution.
Wow.
So they said, we can't close on any night but after a Monday night. Okay? He died on Saturday night.
Oh, you're kidding.
2 days before.
Oh.
So you can imagine how that final night was. Just horrendous it would have been. Yeah, it was just.
Did you manage to get there on the Monday as well?
No. I just
heard about it.
Tell me about it. Yeah, it's just What a horrible, horrible thing to have happen after all these years and all this, this special finish because of him. And yeah, so that was rather sad. But like I said, another lovely Melbourne institution gone down for commercial reasons, which is rather sad.
Yeah, right.
Yes, and I picked up a couple of pieces of new kit this week too.
I saw you've got a slightly large umbrella.
Well, I've got the second biggest. Right. I thought, I don't want to be hey, look at me, I've got the biggest. I've got myself a new 165 centimeter X-Lite umbrella.
Nice.
Deep parabolic, they call it. So it's huge. I said I'd be able to pick all the kids up from school now, and not
question.
Get wet. Yeah.
Why'd you go an umbrella and not a softbox?
Oh, it was free.
Right. Okay. Fair enough then.
Well, here, think about it.
Yep.
What would a 165-centimetre softbox, 1.6 by 1.6-metre softbox set you back?
Lots.
If it was an Elonchron one, I reckon it'd be in the 1500.
I think we'd be into four figures.
Yeah, $1,500 range, $1,200, $1,500, I would imagine. Yeah. This sucker's $165.
Really? Dollar a centimetre.
Not so bad, is it? Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. $165, which is pretty darn marvelous value for money.
Mm-hmm.
The sucker is so big, you don't get the telltale umbrella look in the eyes.
Right. Because
the way I will always shoot with it, it's going to be so close that it's basically filling the entire subject model up, head to toe pretty much. They'll be standing millimeters off the end of it sort of thing.
Right.
You can't tell it's not a softbox, but it's gorgeous, beautiful, incredible soft windowish light.
Yeah,
which is kind of what you want. We put up a pic of my daughter that I took with it tonight.
Yep.
In the show notes to see just how beautiful and soft it is. Once again, it's nice to use different tools as well. Is that going to work? Oh, that looks doesn't look like a very good link.
Sounds like it's come through. Oh, okay, it's just a link.
It's a weird looking link though, isn't it?
Mm. Okay.
Oh, weird.
Copy link location, paste, and there we go. Save image as. Chuck it on the desktop.
Oh, you can see it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Just look like a weird link, and there's some stuff that wasn't quite linkish on the end. Yeah. Is this such a
dark a room were you in? Pupils of her eyes are massive.
It was dark. It was already night time when I took the shot.
Right.
It's night time. There wasn't a lot of light in the room.
Yeah,
pupils are massive.
That's awesome. It's like a cat photographed in a dark alley.
Once again, because we've got not much content tonight, we should bring, I'll pull up any old thing that I hear that makes sense. There's been lots of studies done about the pupil size of models in photographs.
Oh, okay.
And the studies say that if you have big pupils like that, people trust you more.
Yep.
So a lot of salesmen and stuff, they have their pupils enlarged in Photoshop.
Really?
In their photographs to look more trustworthy.
Yeah, right.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I've got a new strobist kit from X-Lite too, which is two stands, two umbrella holders, two normal size umbrellas, sandbags to hold down the stands, all in one bag, which is a rather nice piece.
Nice.
Just self-contained piece. I've got no idea how much that retails for, but that was nice little thing to have as well. Nice to have a little bag that can keep everything in.
Lovely.
So that was good. Yeah, happy with that. Happy with my little pickups for the week.
Yeah. Speaking of pickups for the week.
Yes.
Kath and I drove up to Foster on Sunday.
Did you? Oh, yes, and?
Picked up all the gear.
$200 for the joy.
Yeah, $200. And so there's two 500-watt Hensel monoblocks.
Yeah.
Which pack 300 joules per flash. And they're not super fast. They're about a 350th of a second flash duration.
Yeah, so
Oh, they're not that slow.
Well, compared to most are working in the thousands.
Yeah, I know. But, hey, I'm not planning on shooting
Don't be taking any photos of dropping stuff into water.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I won't do that.
I ain't going to be working for you. Don't go dropping any strawberries into glasses of champagne and expect to catch the drops.
Right. Okay. So anyway, but so yeah, so picked up that. So got
what else? So there's two
so,
heads.
So there's the two heads. The two stands for the heads to sit on.
Yeah, are they reasonably sturdy.
Yep. Yep.
Well, that's $200 for the stands.
Oh, alone. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then there was a softbox, which is I haven't measured it, but I'd reckon it's about 24-inch by 12-inch, rectangular. Yeah, softbox.
I think about that, 24 by 12.
Yep.
I suppose you're slightly less rectangular, 24 by 24.
Yes, that's right. And an umbrella, which would be in the range of about 22 inches, I guess. It's a fairly large umbrella, and a 22-inch beauty dish.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the Minolta handheld light meter.
Was that a flash meter? Is it a digital flash meter?
Digital light meter. Yeah.
Do you have it nearby? Tell me what model number it is.
Looking. No, I don't. It's down in the kitchen.
Oh,
damn.
It's not going to do much good for in the kitchen.
Well, talk amongst yourself and I'll go grab it. I'll be back in a sec.
Oh, here's an opportunity, isn't there? So let's talk about Bruce for a few minutes. Do you see those photos? How crap were they? I mean, what's the point of these boats? They're flat, they're lifeless, they're ugly, and blue and green, that should never be seen. You mix a different colour gel, try some red, try something interesting, the blue and pale-ass green. Man's got no idea about photography. Good thing he can do audio stuff, quite frankly, because if he couldn't, well, it'd be a very quiet podcast, quite frankly, because he does all the work. So anyway, yeah, so back to me. Oh, if anyone's listening, my India tour is now up and open for bookings. And my Vietnam one's going to about a week or so. G'day, Bruce. Oh, heard some noises, thought he was back. Here he comes. Shh, don't tell anyone what we just talked about. So there you are.
And here I am.
I just played some gentle music in the background.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Right, okay.
Ask anyone, they'll tell you.
Well, I'll hear it when I edit this.
I hadn't thought
so
about
if you were saying nasty things about me, I would find out.
I hadn't thought about that.
Okay, so it's a Minolta brand, and it just says auto.
We established that.
Auto meter.
Meter 4?
4F.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
Again, just give me a sec. Does it work?
Yeah.
You had a breath. How big's your house, dude?
Long.
You're seriously, seriously ill. Yeah. Are you sure this stuff wasn't hot?
No, I'm not sure.
No, I'm not sure
that it wasn't. No, sure. I really don't know.
Okay, so it's a bit cheaper than I expected. So they're selling on average for
about 150
to 300.
Yeah. I know.
Which is good, isn't it? Yeah.
This is why I was so excited about this purchase. I was thinking this is at least $1,500 worth of gear.
Nice. Nice work.
His story was that it was given to him, but he had no use for it because he doesn't do studio shoots. His idea of photography is filming underwater with a GoPro.
Yeah.
So I just took that at face value and went, okay, fine. He wanted this stuff gone. And
did he seem to have some idea what the stuff was?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, I don't know what this one does. Oh, that's the stand. Oh, really? At least if you had some sort of idea, you can sort of think, well, maybe he actually did belong to him.
That's awesome. Well, like I said, he said it was given to him, but maybe it was just given to him as a fence.
To some sucker. Maybe he didn't leave any fingerprints around his house. You wipe the doorknob as you left and stuff.
Exactly.
All good, dude. That's all very good.
So now I've got to put it to use to get Kath off my back.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
She goes, why are you buying more gear? You don't use the stuff you've got.
Oh, dear.
So I figure if I could sell the light meter for $200, then, hey, I'm clear.
Exactly.
So... Maybe
keep light meter. It'll make doing your studio stuff a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah. So, I just have to learn how to use it.
Easy. You go. You put a cable in. You go. Boom! And it fires the flash and tells you what aperture it is.
Right. Okay.
Serious.
Cool.
So you aim the light at the person's head.
Yeah, but dude, there's whatever. Like 6 buttons, 7, 8 buttons on here.
You put a cable from the studio light into the flash, into the meter. Yeah. Put the meter in front of the person's face and trigger the flash.
Right,
and it goes F10.3.
Right,
you bump up the power of your flash a bit. Boom, F10.8. Bump up your flash a bit more. F11. Got your camera on F11. Away you go.
Right,
that's it.
Cool. Oh.
It makes life very simple, especially when you're doing multiple flashes.
Yeah.
If you don't want it, take it off your hands for $10. I got a couple of links to put into the thing. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about that photograph this guy had taken of a muskrat or something sitting on the back of a bird that was flying along.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've got a raccoon riding on the back of an alligator.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Going across the water, there's this alligator with a raccoon on its back.
Hang on, I'm waiting for the link to... Oh, you are kidding me.
What the?
That's epic.
What on earth is going on in nature? Yeah. It's the signs are happening, dude. It's the end of the world, I'm telling you. Oh, wow. Animals not knowing what they should be and who they should hang out with and stuff.
Yeah.
It's pure anarchy.
That is crazy.
And he stands. He's just standing there. He's just riding away.
Now, am I right in thinking that he's standing pretty much between the alligator's eyes?
No.
Or the eyes further down?
He's standing in the middle of it, dude. Can you see the picture?
Yeah, I can see the picture. But there's a tree in the way.
Oh, no, that's his middle of his... Oh, that's in the middle of his back.
It's the middle of his back, not the top of his head.
His head's just...
Is the bit going into the water.
Snout just in front of the water.
Right, yeah. I wasn't sure. Jeez,
how about your monitor? So that one's good.
Tree in the way, mate.
We talked last week about the Sony A7R2.
Yeah.
Well, Hasselblad have just announced the A7R.
You're kidding.
under Hasselblad. No, the rebranding an A7R as a Hasselblad.
Oh.
But there's a two now. You finally got this new exclusive thing out. It's already a generation old by the time you've come out with it.
Hang on. The page you've sent me to is all in Chinese.
Yeah, it's a Chinese link.
Well, good on you.
Well, I get the news where I get the news. I can't help that. Now you've got to look at this next link. This Tim Allman. I'm thinking is a kid. Tim Allman. I don't know.
Is this the space station?
Yeah. This kid is just. I mean, he's going straight into our "We Hate This Person" folder.
Oh, okay.
Just bang. He's in there straight away. He wants to become an astronaut. This kid.
Right.
Right. But he took a multi exposure shot.
Yeah.
What did he do? He did whilst flying in a plane at 40,000 feet.
What?
So he's got this space station in an arc across out the plane window over the plane wing, where he's done this damn.
Oh, what?
I know. What the hell?
How?
So he goes. He bought the in-flight Wi-Fi,
yeah.
Right? Logged on to heavensabove.com to track where the International Space Station was going to be.
Right.
And he tracked it all. And he's got all down there showing you how he did it all and boom, boom, boom.
Wow.
And mapped the whole thing out and shot and shot and shot and shot.
That is crazy.
Night lapse mode, boom, 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 boom. And on his GoPro, mind you.
Yeah, right.
So he's taken his GoPro and mapped the place, the space station going across, there's an arc across the top of his plane wing. And it's perfectly across the top of the plane wing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just clears the tip of the wing.
What a smart ass. I love this world. And if you go back to the
previous post, me someday as an astronaut.
No, the one above it. The adrenaline rush of capturing the International Space Station transiting the moon.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So here's the moon with the freaking space station silhouetted across all the way across.
Yeah, like 8 frames as it transited across the moon.
I mean,
it's amazing.
Once again, the whole link about how we managed to do this and make it work, you know. I'm assuming he's a kid because he's thanking his mum for driving him.
That's epic.
So I don't know. but amazing. No, it's a photo of him for the day. He's probably still lives with his mum because any space nerd like that would, but he looks you know, a little bit older.
Yeah.
But amazing stuff. Again, it's just like,
but
wow.
But he's still a teenager.
But what people are doing is just incredible. Yeah. There's a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
An explosion in a junkyard.
Oh, okay.
Some guy was in doing a model shoot in a wrecker's yard.
Right.
And he had his model in some wrecked out car, and he decided he wanted all these lit candles inside the wrecked out car. And it was a gas tank leaking somewhere, blew up, seriously burnt the model. He jumped in to get her out and used his body to put the flames out.
Whoa.
And burnt himself in the process. But yeah, you just got to be, you know, the woman's got 75% burns on her body, apparently.
Whoops.
Yeah.
She won't be updating her model mayhem profile anytime soon.
Yeesh.
Sheesh.
That's insensitive, Bruce. You know, we have a certain level of standard to uphold on this podcast.
Do we?
Very low standard, admittedly, but it's still a standard, you know?
Right.
If you come out with these ideas, but think through all the possible.
You've certainly got to scout
and
your location.
If you are a photographer and you don't have, like, public liability insurance and something like this happens, you are not only is your business out of business, but your life is out of business.
Yeah.
Everything you own is gone. You're sued to the up the wazoo to cover these expenses and these medical bills, and you're gone, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're doing this as a hobby and you're hiring models, yeah, I'll be getting indemnity insurance. I really would. Mm. Yeah. All it takes is, you know, one fall off a cliff or one slip on some idea that you had for a photo and bang.
Don't say that.
Well, I'm serious, yeah. What happens if? Yeah. Well, I've had photographers fall into the ocean in surging waves.
Right.
Surrounded by razor sharp rocks on three sides and the waves coming in on the fourth side.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And by sheer luck, they did not plonk their head on those rocks and on the way down and just do all sorts of stuff. And it was just on nightfall, so you couldn't see anything.
Yeah, when you say you've had, what, you mean on a CPW shoot?
On a shoot, yeah. All we heard was this, ah! But the great thing was all you could see was this arm out of the water.
Holding the camera up. Priorities.
But it was funny. It was up on the Gold Coast. We'd done a emerging nymph shoot up in Brisbane, and one customer didn't show up. They got lost. And they were driving around for like an hour and a half, got lost.
Yeah.
So I said, look, come down to the Gold Coast in a couple of nights, 2 nights time or something, and shoot there. Oh, okay, that's great of you. Thanks so much. Gets lost on the way down. Arrives half an hour late. Is so flustered. Works her way out. Gets out in the rocks. Promptly falls straight into the ocean.
Oh, no.
Gets out. Takes about four photos. Decides she's freezing cold. Gets in the car and goes home.
Oh,
you know, love them. The things that happen. I came across on the faux blogographer, which has got the worst name for thing. It's almost as bad as Shutters Inc.
Yeah.
The best cities for street photography in the world.
Right.
According to them.
Right.
And Melbourne gets a mention.
Yes.
Which, frankly, I think the whole thing's bunkum. Yeah. Looking at what they've come out with.
Opportunities where you make it.
That's for starters. But look at some of the, I mean, they haven't got, there's some incredible, exotic locations to be shooting. Yeah. And I've got to tell you, Los Angeles, not the place I'd be thinking about to go to get, I mean, what I'm calling great street photography. There are some options, but Stockholm,
The thing
I'm just thinking, they might be great, but surely there's better.
Well, the thing is, everything's relative to what is your normal.
Of course.
Right? So if you live on a farm, you know, out in the back blocks of China, and you're not used to seeing, you know, great big metropoli, then going to somewhere like LA is probably super exciting and to you really visually interesting.
If you're going to put an article out that best places in the world... Oh, actually, it was the friendliest cities in the world. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't think
friendliest?
LA.
How did New York City get on there?
Well, New York's incredibly friendly.
Is it?
It's one of the friendliest cities I've been to in the world. Right. I love New York.
Okay.
But LA.
LA?
No. Mm. But I just think, yeah, there's okay, maybe if we're talking friendly, it might be okay. But there's a lot more exciting places to shoot. He's got down Israel, which is great. I mean, that'd be a fascinating place to street shoot mm-hmm. in Jerusalem. Sorry, not Israel. Yeah. It would be a fabulous place to street shoot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just me. What else have I got? So I came. I'm not sure if I talked about this the other week. Did we talk about last week the Western Digital wireless hard drive with the SD slot?
I don't think it was last week. I think it was a couple of weeks back.
Recently. Well, it's come up on Strobist on their blog spot. They're right. Talking about their practical experience using it. So if anyone's sort of been thinking about it, he's sort of talking about how it's a kind of a cool article. It goes through how his travel package has changed from like 2009 down to where he is now.
Yeah,
about
right.
What kind of gear and stuff and everything else. But it goes in quite a bit about using this and using Wi-Fi and apps to access stuff. And if anyone's still curious about that, I'm definitely going to get one before my next major trip.
It's interesting that you should bring this up, because that was the one thing that I wanted to talk about this week, was that it's going through my mind as to what I'm going to take to Borneo for backup.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not...
Perfect.
Hey?
I think this would be a perfect...
Yeah, it probably would. What I had been thinking is that I've already made the decision. I'm not taking a laptop with me.
Yeah.
What I am taking is my Galaxy Tab S.
Yeah.
Which is a great tablet. I've got a 32 gig micro SD card in it as a, as removable storage.
Yeah.
But my intention was not to store all of the images on that card. What my intention was to shoot and not remove the raw images from the CF cards I'm shooting on.
Yeah.
But at the end of each day, to put those cards into the card reader, attach the card reader to the tablet,
yeah.
Copy the images to the tablet temporarily,
yeah.
Then take the card reader out and then plug in USB keys and back up all the raw files onto the USB keys, so that by the end of the trip, I would have a bunch of USB keys which have got copies of all the raw images,
yeah.
Plus I would have all of the undeleted CF cards.
Yeah.
So then I've got two copies of everything by the time I get home, and then I work out, importing to Lightroom when I get home.
Are you staying somewhere where there's Wi-Fi?
What I will be doing is, as soon as we touch down in Kaching, I will be buying a...
Kaching!
Yeah, I will be buying a 3G... What am I trying to think of? SIM card?
Phone? SIM card?
SIM card. No, just taking my phone but putting a local SIM card in it.
Are you unlocked?
Yes.
Good.
And over there, it is stupidly cheap for bandwidth.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think.
So you're gonna take your hero shots, and upload those to a Dropbox or something as well.
No, I'll just upload them to Facebook.
No, just put them in a Dropbox folder. It's all done in the background that way.
Oh, as a backup.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I suppose I could do that, because it's probably all 4G up there now. So
yeah, you're only going to be taking one good photo a day anyway. So you put. That image. Now, as you're doing it, you just drop half a dozen of your best images every day into the Dropbox folder on your Galaxy Tab. It automatically uploads to the Dropbox, so you're not actually doing the actual work to do it. You can quickly drop them in, go out with your family or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And it's uploading straight away in the background without you doing anything.
That's not a bad idea.
You say that like it's a surprise.
But maybe I will have to have a look into this My Passport wireless.
The problem is the My Passport's SD only.
Yes, but didn't you say it had a USB port as well?
It does. Yeah, it does. You're right.
So in that case, I could mount the card reader to the USB port and copy them across.
That'll indeed work.
I'll have to look into the Australian pricing for that.
Yeah, it's I can't remember. It's just a touch under $300 for 2 terabyte.
Right.
Which is, yeah. But
a hell of a lot more expensive than the American price.
Well, they're like $179 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so $299 is about right.
It's our dollar gone down that much.
Well, you've got to think about, okay, that's $179, even the American price doesn't include tax.
Right.
So if you were to buy it over there, the first thing to do, it's not that price, it's than that price. You could have put so let's say it's $200 US. Translate that to Australian, that's $2.50, give or take.
Really? Are we down at 75 cents?
77 or something like that. We're there,
really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. Okay, fair enough.
So the thing we're talking about, $40 or $50 difference in price. Yeah. Our tax is higher than their tax. We've got to add 10% GST.
Yeah.
And plus, people want to get paid.
Yeah.
They want to earn a reasonable. There's a big thing at the moment going about penalty rates for people working on weekends, on Sundays and stuff. You know, when do Australians love to do their retail shopping the most? On a Sunday.
Yeah.
What do staff want on a Sunday? Double pay.
Yeah.
You can't, and if our average wage is $20 an hour, they're on $40 an hour.
Yeah,
that's got to be paid for somewhere. We can't get stuff in America. You don't get any extra pay for work on Sunday. You get the same pay, and you're on $8.
Yeah,
$8 to $40 an hour. It's a hell of a difference. So give me my living standards I've got here. Thank you very much. My medical, my health, my all the other things for free.
Yeah.
I'll pay the $50 for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So shut up and buy local. Couple of things.
Well, it's funny that you should say that because I was having a discussion with David Osler on Facebook today.
He's a lovely man, Dave.
About the forthcoming Sony A7 R2.
Yes.
Because he was saying that he's just put down his pre-order with Michael's Camera House in Melbourne.
Buying local. Good on you,
David. For $4,600.
Yeah.
And I was saying, I think, they've probably artificially inflated the pre-order price so that when they do know the real pricing, they can make it sound like they're giving a more generous discount.
They know the price already, dude.
Yeah, probably do.
Yeah. But that's about what it's going to be. That's
what
expect. 3,300 US is equivalent to about 4,600 here.
Jeez. Yeah, right.
It is just do the dollar calculation and add whatever the $700 or $800 alone in currency conversion.
Yeah,
that $3,300 is already $41.
Yeah,
add 10% tax.
Yeah,
it's $45.
Yeah,
how much are they charging?
46.
Yeah, it's pretty much spot on, isn't it? Did I mention the holidays, the long service leave, the 4 weeks annual leave?
Yeah.
Now, I came across an interesting thing on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So I want to kick this off because we're going to run people over time.
Yeah.
And called, I've forgotten what it's
Lens
called. Lensshare, that's the one.
Right.
And it's this portal of like photographers. Like, let's say you live in New York City. I'd love to have a 600mm F4 for the weekend.
Right.
But you don't want to go to a store to hire it or they're all closed or whatever.
Right.
This is like if I own a 600mm F4 that I don't use very often, I can put it on this site and offer it as a higher price.
Right.
And it's peer-to-peer sharing, basically.
Okay.
So you can list all your camera gear on this site and people will get in touch if they want to hire stuff off you.
Yeah, right.
And everyone gets to hire. So you get access to this fairly extensive range of gear. And, of course, it's your right to say, no, I'm using it that weekend.
Yep.
But if you're not, you could be earning some money from your gear sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah, right.
Pretty clever idea.
Interesting. I wonder what the business model is. Like, how's he going to make a quid out of this Kickstarter campaign?
It's immense, I don't know. Maybe who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, cool.
Yeah, it's like the idea. And then, of course, I was already on Kickstarter. I thought, well, let's have a look at some other ones.
Yeah.
And I came across what I thought was the worst Kickstarter project ever.
Really?
I have to throw it to you.
Right.
The headline, moving to Australia to carry out freelance photography. Goal, £5,000. Anything over this amount would mean the world and can't thank you all enough. Let's make it happen. Living on a prayer. About this project, I intend to do something dramatic and carry out photography in another country with no real help, just me and my camera, and everyone paying for you to do it.
Yeah.
There's no real help at all. With a bit of luck from you guys, you can help make this all possible, as I've just finished my degree and I'm tight on finances. I've saved a little, but anything I can help will help me carry out this will be greatly appreciated. The risks and challenges. The real risk for me is not even attempting this and regretting it later in life. At least I will be happy knowing I tried everything. Also, it's a great leap of faith moving so far away from family to leave it all behind. So the rewards, which are always things you look for. Pledge £100 or more. The first picture I take when I'm in Australia, I will send to you all. 100 quid. That's it. Now, I know you might find this surprising, Bruce, but so far he's failed to get a single backer.
Really?
Failed. He's only been going 4 days. I want to put the link up there because the project will still be going by the time this goes to air. And I know the lovely people of Shutters Inc. will want to go on there and not donate like we do.
I love the, at least I will be happy knowing I tried everything.
Everything. Everything. I asked some people for money. They didn't give it to me. Oh, well.
That was everything I had. Yes, right there.
Oh, I know. So I thought that was the worst. Yeah, you think. Yeah.
Right.
Time to grow. Camera lens art support for family.
Sorry?
Having finally been given a chance to be a full-time photographer, I need your help. The job's mine, but my camera's died. After years of hard work, I finally landed myself a regular photography job, which, done right, could kickstart my career, no pun intended. The opportunity could be massive for me, but like all good things, there's a catch. On this one, it's my camera. After 4 years, she's finally been put out to pasture. Well, there's probably left in the field.
Yeah, that's
it's
it.
It's a problem. Yeah.
Literally.
I'm a little guy, but with big hopes, dreams, and plans, and now it seems to be coming together. Contact me and talk to me. Make me earn your kindness. The risks and challenges. The risks are Jessup's, the camera store's being closed, and the whole thing being postponed for a day. For a day. So once again, you go to the rewards. Pledge £10 or more. You get a free on-location shoot and a mention on my Facebook business page. Fabulous, okay? Currently, no
advertising
backer.
You couldn't buy.
Pledge £100 or more. Everything previously mentioned, everything, and a massive hug. Pledge £500 or more. Everything previously mentioned, plus I'll clean your car. Pledge £1,000 or more. You get a free photo shoot, a big hug, clean your car, and I'll tattoo your name on my head. Bruce, you've got to put the link in because, once again, this guy's only got 24 days to go. And at the moment, he's on squids. He's got not a not a penny. So I reckon we could get all the listeners together, put a buck in each, and we'd only be $3 short of the first pledge. can you believe this?
I cannot believe that. £500 for a car wash.
I know. And the photo shoot, and let's not forget the hug. Yeah.
There. Well, I was forgetting those.
But so important. So that's pretty much all I've got on my list anyway. It's just diabolical.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
Well, considering we had nothing to talk about before we started the show, I think we've done all right. It hasn't been the worst episode. There's been no sound effects for starters.
That is a plus.
No one commented on the Facebook page or how much they loved it. Or
fancy that.
Or how much they hated it. They did bleat and moan about you said background music, did you?
Yeah, a long time ago.
That does not sound like a good idea in any way, shape, or form. What I was thinking, what you should get, and I'd like us to do this, let's try an episode like this. I want you to have the ambiance of a coffee shop going in the background.
What?
Yeah, the clinking of cups. This is the hustle and bustle there. Can I have 2 espressos, please?
I can do
it's
that.
It's like 2 blokes having a chat in a coffee shop. Not this lifeless, stale, electronic world that we live in, separated by the vast
distance. How would you know?
Sydney. I wouldn't. You could have told me I've been doing that for the last 6 episodes. I wouldn't believe you. But wouldn't that be nice? Let's give it a try and put it out to vote.
All right. Next week's episode will be live from the virtual coffee shop.
Live from the coffee shop.
You've been warned in advance, people.
Yes, just go past that one. Well, my friend.
Good to talk to you, mate. It's been a pleasure. Well, you have a good week.
You too, dude. Have a great shoot Saturday night. I hope all goes well for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
See ya. Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email
email theboys@shuttersyncpodcast.com.